Hey y'all, welcome back, all my nerds, geeks, blurts, and freaks. I know it's been a minute, but I welcome you back to Geeky Sexual and Intellectual. I'm your girl Q, and we here, we gonna talk this shit. I know that I told you all that I'd be back this summer. Basically, summer is fucking over, but damn it, I'm back, baby. And so I'm gonna go into my year's recap of why it took me so long to get back to Geeky Sexual and Intellectual. So I got the show broken out, boo-boo. We got four or five segments. So the first one. So I quit my job back in March. Yep. I think I had been there a year. When COVID popped off, we started working from home. And I want to say that we came back into the office, I guess October of last year. And then March, I was just done. And you know what? Things started to go south and I can't even remember why it did, but it was time. So the reason why I say it was time is because I'm just tell y'all, I'm 42 now. And I was like, when am I ever going to start living my dream? You say, what's your dream, Q? I have been an artist since I was 5 years old. Went to a performing and visual arts high school, graduated there, went on to art college, came back home, took some more classes in graphic design and what have you. And so I would get little jobs here and there. I'm like, why is this not working out? What am I doing wrong? Da, 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 da. So I got tired of asking myself those questions. And so I just went full steam head first into corporate America. So like I said, when I got back, I moved back to Texas, like when I was 28. And I was like, okay, enough of that. Enough of those art dreams. I'm gonna just work. Because that's what people do. They work. You got to eat. You got to pay bills. You go to work. So that's what I did. I was always unfulfilled. Depression started creeping in, yada, yada, yada. So I was like, okay, I think I had my daughter a year after I moved back to Dallas. And I was like, maybe I should start going back to school, you know, to tighten up my skills. And I was like, but nobody is utilizing my skills, because when I did want to take on jobs, nobody wanted to pay me what I was worth. So I felt that I had no worth, the skills that I had no worth. And I just stopped accepting jobs. And the jobs that I did accept, it was way too much work for the money that I accepted. So eventually I just was like, well, just freaking forget it. So I started working in radio, got back, you know, I started Gadgets and Geekery while I was in radio. And that's where the spark of my dream started to, you know, peek its little head through again. So I'm working at the radio station. I'm working in construction. I'm working in catering. And all of it, I'm doing excellent at, but people aren't utilizing my potential. So I was like, you know what? F that. And you know, let me stay true to myself. I was like, fuck that. So in March, I was going through it with my boss. And I said, let me come up with a plan. You always got to have a plan. So I talked to my husband about it. And so I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to quit. So I had saved up a little bit of money that could last me throughout the year. And my first thing was, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I know I can drive Uber because my ass been driving Uber for 7 years off and on. And it's always been there for me when I needed it. So boom, I quit. So I was like, okay, what's your plan? The plan is I want to do art, whether it's drawing commissions or building websites or doing social media assets. That's what I want to do. That's my driving force, is anything creative. So I came up with that plan. I broke down my money that I had saved, how much I had to allocate towards bills for, I don't know, I think I estimated 6 months, just in case things didn't go the way that I had panned out. I could still had enough time to find a job or a temporary position or whatever I need to do. So I was like, I got to find some clients. I didn't have to do much searching because that's why I knew I was on the right path. The blurred girl, Carrie Mahorn, reached out to me. I worked with her on a couple of projects for a few months. Then another friend that I made through Instagram, Dr. Tiffany Jana, she reached out to me, put me on a project, 8-week contract. That contract ended. She brought me on extended. So I was like, God be working in this mother. So yeah, if you stay true and just come up with a plan, things start working out. They don't always work out how you plan them and how fast that you would like them to, but they start to work out if it's a feasible plan. So while I was, you know, and I'm still looking for clients. That's always the mission. Find new clients. I was like, but you need another hustle. So I started driving for GoPuff because I felt like that was a little bit more flexible than my tried and true Uber. So I'm doing that. I had my two clients. I'm building a website here or there. I'm doing a commission here or there. And I'm driving for GoPuff. So I always come back to, you got to have a plan. So the other thing is, you know, if you're in a relationship, you got to talk that out with your partner. You can't just be, I just want to quit. Fuck this job. I'm quit. No, you can't quit. You got to come to the table with a plan, and you got to make sure that your significant other, whether that's your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiance, husband, wife, whatever, is on board with the shit. So thank God my husband was on board with it. So he was like, what's your plan? I was like, boom, here's my plan. Okay, that's cool. What's your backup plan? Bam, here's my backup plan. Okay, cool. So yes, you want to make sure that you have somebody, you know, supporting you in the background. If it's just you, go full steam ahead. Still always had a plan, but don't put your significant other out there like that. That can be very stressful on them. It can be stressful on your relationship. And next thing you know, you out in these streets broke as fuck and they done left your ass wide open. And hey, it's not even their fault because you didn't talk it over with them. So that's number one for me, communication with your significant other. Another thing I just want to say, you know, we should do all the things that we want to do. Do all the things, but do it in your time. Because I'm going to come back to why I had to take a break from Geeky Sexual and Intellectual. Basically, I was stressing myself out. And my anxiety left me doing nothing, basically. So I was like, okay, this show was becoming a chore because I was doing too much. And I'm gonna tell you what I mean by that. Like I said, I got a background in radio. So I saw how some shows were put together, how commercials were put in play, yada, 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 list goes on. So what I was trying to do is basically run this podcast the way I saw things running at a national radio station, which is a lot of gears going. It ain't that fucking serious. I was doing too much. Wore myself the fuck down. So to tell you truthfully, honestly, I have revised this show like 5 times. And if you've been sticking with me through all this time, you can hear it because it's been a lot. It's been so much. And again, my anxiety makes me, I don't know how to quite say it. It makes me go into overdrive for perfection. And that's not possible. So right now, while I'm cutting this show, I am sitting in my very spacious acoustic closet. Before I was like, I gotta have all the things. I gotta have the perfect mic. I gotta have the perfect camera, yada, yada, yada. And I was doing all the things. And what I mean by that is I was like, okay, if I'm going to do the podcast, that's the audio side. But hey, people want to see you while you're doing your show. Not that it's wrong, but now I've added another element. I've leveled up on my anxiety. So now I got to record the show. I got to edit the show. I got to put it on YouTube. I got to put it on Twitter. Whatever else platform you could think of. Then I got to do the branding, yada, yada, yada. So now I'm like still in hyper perfection mode and I'm just anteing up on the anxiety and anteing up on the stress. So nothing is becoming fun to me anymore. Not that all things have to be fun all of the time because work is work. But when you're starting to feel like you're putting out a lot of content and you're not getting the feedback that you would like, it kind of becomes like a tedious thing that's not bringing you any type of joy. So I was like, I'm gonna chill out. I am going to just do the audio podcast for now. Maybe down the line, once I get this, you know, my shit under control, stop trying to be a perfectionist, then I'll dabble back into those previous platforms that I was in. So you say, what are you doing now, DNQ? What I just told you, I'm just recording this audio right here. The other thing I'm doing, you may have noticed in the last year or so, I switched my Gadgets and Geekery page of over 50,000 followers to Quincy B. Drawing. So if you haven't noticed and you go over there, it's just artwork. That's where I'm trying to get my commissions. The reason for that is because I wanted, may not have been the smartest thing, but this is what I thought was right for me. I said, okay, Gadgets and Geekery, slowing down on that. I am going to transfer this account to my art account. And hopefully the numbers that I have will generate some revenue, some new clients, and yada, yada, yada. This is going to be great. So no, it's been hella slow. I've got a couple of clients, and I want to thank all of them for reaching out to me and working with me, and we made some beautiful things together. So, and that's when I created the second Gadgets and Geeky page. It's doing pretty good. I think it's over 600 followers now. But again, I'm taking everything slowly because that was not the case before. I was trying to do all of the things, all of the things. And like, that's what social media tells us we're supposed to do. And if we're not doing all of those things, well, you're half-assing it. You could be doing more. Hustle, hustle all the time. Hustle, hustle, hustle. I'm like, nah, I'm a hustler, but I'm not like a mega hustler. And that's what social media tells you need to be, a mega fucking hustler. If you're not, then you ain't really doing nothing out here in these streets. You need to just take a back seat, player. Like, just do what make you happy at the end of the day. And then just slowly add things on it. You want to, you know, generate revenue from this? Great. Because I do too, but that ain't in the cards for me right now. So I'm doing what makes me happy. And I'm out here sharing what I enjoy and what's entertaining to me, whether that's post or what I talk about on these future shows. So yeah, that's basically what I'm doing. The podcast, I'm doing the commission artwork and social media management and asset. And I almost forgot. I was trying to keep it under wraps, but again, I can't do that shit because I'm just like a extrovert at moments. And I was like, I want everybody to know everything. I'm doing great things. I want to be great. I wanted people to know the great things. So I want to say back in May or June, I decided I wanted to create a clothing line. You say a clothing line? Yes. Not any kind of clothing line. Well, what kind of clothing line, Q? I noticed that there are a ton of anime clothing companies out there. And beautiful as they are, it's all the demographic is towards men. And yes, I will wear the shit out of that shit, but it's catering to men and it don't always fit our bodies, women, I'm saying, like we want it to. So we'll buy the things and we'll alter them and cut them up and do all the shit to make it fit our bodies and make it, you know, sexy, womanly, whatever. Why I want to spend $40 on a t-shirt and cut it up so it can look girly when I can just make that shit on my own? So that's what I'm doing. I looked around. The only person, and it was so funny while I was coming out with the idea, she came out like a ray of sunshine. Her name is Lynn over at Bad Waifu. That's what she doing. She making that sexy, minimalistic anime wear for women. I'm loving that shit. And so I was like, bam, somebody else see that shit. So that's what I'm doing. So I've been slowly pumping out designs so I can be ready for the grand opening in October. So y'all know how I do. It's real, you know, they call it CP. It's real CP over here. I said October. I don't have a drop date yet, but I'm coming out with different pieces for female presenting demographics. So all this shit just for women. If you know what, anybody can buy the shit because I just wanted things that fit women's bodies. But hey, brothers, wear what the fuck you want. You see something cute over here that I made? Come get that shit. You got a woman, you want her to look cute in her anime shit? Come get this shit. So recap, I'm doing the commissions, I'm doing the podcast, and I'm doing the clothing line. You can go find it on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's called Everyday Cosplay Collection. So that's what you can find me doing right now. Just sticking to the art. I'm just really sticking to the art. And I like talking to y'all. And I've been getting some good reviews about people, you know, they think I'm cool. I'm silly. I don't care about being silly. I could be her friend in real life. I'm loving that shit. So that's what I'm doing. So my question to you is, so you want to quit your job? It may be some people out there right now like, I'm trying to leave this bitch tomorrow, boo. What you talking about? So here's my suggestion. If you want to quit your fucking job, talk to yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror if you have to and be like, you, what is our dream? Take a list because a lot of people have a lot of dreams. I have a lot of dreams. I just told you what I'm doing. That's like three different pathways. Figure out what your dream is. Then you need to sit down. You need to make a plan and make changes to that plan when needed, because you can be going, woo, 3 months. It's been going good and it's starting to slow down. You got to tweak that plan. You can't, it's not working no more. And I've had to do that a couple of times since March. You need to save, save, save. That's some, you know, I don't know the age of whoever's listening to my voice right now, but that's some young people shit to leave a job and ain't got no money. I used to do this shit all the time. Oh, nigga, I kept ramen noodles in business. I had ramen noodles and broccoli. That was my nutrition when a motherfucker was like, I'm tired of this job. I'm out. But I ain't got no money. And it's what I got to do until I get another job. So save, save, save. It ain't got to be a huge chunk of money. And I usually say try to have your bills, the amount of your bills for 6 to 8 months saved up if you're going to, you know, just get out. Because by the time you get to month 5, you know if this shit not working no more. And that's enough time to still have some savings and then find your ass another job. Not to say it's only going to take 3 months to find a job, but you need to find a side hustle like a Uber or a GoPuff or DoorDash, some shit like that, to get you a little money in. And everybody's fucking hiring right now. Every time I stop at a restaurant, they got a, you know, we're hiring sign. So don't be too big to get a fast food restaurant job. Okay. I say find a support group and like-minded individuals that's, you know, in the same vein of what your dream falls in. So if you like news, I want to, you know, report the news, like low-key news. Find some people like that. You want to do art, follow some other artists, start communicating with them. Whatever it is, find your community, find your tribe so they can, you know, you can, you know, pick their brain and some shit and they can help motivate you and you can motivate them. Vice versa. What else? At the end of the day, it's okay if you have to go back to work. That's a misconception. A lot of people, oh, I failed. Failure makes for experiences and lessons. So I may have to go back to work. That is not what I want to do. But hey, a lot of times we got to do what we don't want to do. And that's beneficial. Now, two reasons. You got to take care of yourself, whether it's just yourself or your family. So I can't leave my family out in the wind like that just because my selfishness of wanting to continue my dream. Dreams will always be there to the day you die. You can work on them. You can come back to them. Don't ever let your dream die, but you got to be responsible at the end of the day. And whew, I learned some shit this year, baby. Okay. This is the biggest rule of all. Know your worth and others will too. That is a mouthful because I have not, like I said, I'm 42. I'm just now learning my worth. That's crazy. And I didn't learn it on my own. I had to learn it through others. So I was telling you about one of my clients. I was on with a commission. She said, okay, contract's over. You know, we want to bring you back on. You know, we want to do an open-ended contract. What's your worth? Tell us how much you're worth. So I told her what my hourly rate was. And I was like, yeah, this is it. And so before I told him that, I had a whole internal dialogue with myself. Like, this is what you think you're worth, Q. And then the other side of me was like, devil's advocate in this mud. No, Q. I mean, maybe, yeah, you're worth that, but they're not going to pay that. Are you crazy? And then people never give you what you want. So you better be safe and go, you know, go down $10 from that. And so I'm having this anxiety war on the inside again. And I'm like, yeah, I need to lowball because, you know, I know for sure they won't turn that down. But if I tell them this, oh, they for sure going to turn me down. So I said, stop being a bitch and man up. Literally, because men do not have that internal dialogue and angst with themselves. They be like, bitch, this is what I'm worth. And they be like, you know what? You're that motherfucker. You're right. Here's that fucking raise. Women got to be better at this shit. And I'm working on it now. So come back to the meeting. They say, what you worth? I say, this is what I get paid hourly. Bet. We'll write this down. I'm going to go back and talk to the higher ups. I get to you in 4 days. Come back in 4 days. I get the contract. I'm reading the contract. And I stop. And I start to cry. Because they asses gave me $5 more than what I asked for. And I asked for about $10 or $15 more than I originally wanted to ask for. So I came out like $25 more than what I thought I was not worth. You got to speak up. I did not want to lose this client, but I also didn't want to lose my self-esteem. I wanted to gain something more than just financial stability and just a financial standing. I needed to prove to myself that I was worth it. And they believed that I was worth it. And I'm so thankful for that because now I'm in a whole nother, you know, state of mind. because they believed in me. And I produced the work, and I don't need accolades, but they are so good about that and telling me what a good contractor they have in me. And oh, you're amazing, you crank this out, you know exactly what we need. And when we need to do revisions, we get on the same level so we can get it done. So be about it and know your worth. And don't be afraid. You're going to be afraid. I'm still afraid what I'm talking about. Like, bitch, I can't believe they went down like that. Like, right, ho? We did that shit. So, yes, know your goddamn worth. All right. So, next up, we're going to talk COVID-19, bitch. All right. So, motherfucking COVID-19. I'm not even here to talk about the disease, the pandemic itself. I am here to talk about people, okay? I am so over America. I don't know what to do. And at a point in the beginning, I was watching news every day, all day, 7 days a week, all day, every day, 7 days a week. And I was crazy than a bitch, okay? So quite literally, I want to say, now that I'm thinking about it, I haven't watched the news in 6 months. Because I could feel my heart rate going up. I would start to sweat. Couldn't sleep at night. I was mad a lot of the times. Like, just mad. Just out here, just walking around mad. And I'm like, nothing is happening. Like, nobody has made me mad. It was residual effect of watching the news and how people are handling this disease. And I don't care what side you stand on. This unnecessary, unmitigated anger is what's really tripping me out. So if you're a vaccinated person like myself, I'm not even mad at people that's not vaccinated. I'm just like in utter awe of them. Like, you know, this is not the first time people have had to vaccinate, right? Like, go back and check the Google on the diseases that have come through that we've been vaccinated for. And I know a lot of people, especially Black people, we've been tested on and whatnot. And I understand that. I totally understand where that's coming from. But these numbers are fucking crazy. They're like scary crazy. This is like end of time numbers, like in the deaths. So I'm like, on the other hand, the people that don't want to get vaccinated and don't want to wear masks, why are they so fucking angry at people that are doing the opposite? Let people do what they want to do in the ways that they believe they are staying healthy. I will say, though, if you don't want to get vaccinated, you should be wearing a mask. But again, we all grown. We got to do what we got to do. And I don't understand why we so one side or the other side. I'm kind of like in the middle, because it's every day. It's a learning experience on, you know, even what scientists are, you know, learning about this virus. But again, I just sit back sometimes and I'm doing it right now. I'm holding my head and shaking my head like, I don't understand what the fuck is going on. And these people with the conspiracy theories talking about, oh, they putting chips in it. Nigga, you're not that important. Ain't none of us that important. Okay? Not even Obama. They don't even trying to chip his ass, because like, what is he really doing right now? Nobody is that important to be putting chips in them. Number two, placebos. I don't know. That's a lot of time. Who's keeping up with what's the real shit and what's not the real shit? We're not even in the testing phase no more. That's just, it's a lot of work. And I know evil takes a lot of work, because I'm like, nigga, do you know how much how much work it is to be evil instead of just doing the right thing? I'm like, hey, you know what? Hey, sorry. Yeah. Placebos and chips. And then poisons. I totally understand where that concept comes from. But I'm just like, what's the other alternative? Like, I mean, it is alternative. I ain't gonna trip. The alternative is, hey, it's my time. It's my time. But then on the other side, it's people like, well, it could not be my time if I would have did the shot. It was like, no, God, if God calls you home, how you know God didn't send the mental fortitude for these people to create the vaccine to keep you alive longer? I don't know. It's just gonna always be shit out here trying to kill us. If you never seen like the original 28 days later and 20 weeks later on the DVD set back in the day when I used to put the extra content, there was a documentary on there with different scientists that was just talking about how diseases will come out like every 10 to 15 years, swoop in, kill a lot of people, and just disappear. I don't know what that shit is, but it happens. And, you know, society should always be prepared for it unless we just done being here. I don't know. So that's that. Common sense just at the fucking door. Like, I remember they was telling everybody, okay, if you've been vaccinated, you can go to family and friends homes that have also been vaccinated and you can be outside without a mask. I'm like, but can we still catch it though? So yeah, we won't die from it, but we'll still get sick. Like, fool, I had the flu. I don't ever want to have the flu again. I know that's how people was trying to surmise it. It's like the flu. Like, no, it's not like the flu. And I've had really bad flus where I wished I was dead. That's how bad they were. So who wants to have that? Like, that's not the consolation prize. Like, it's only going to be like the flu. The flu ain't no bitch. And this ain't the flu. This is some Cruella de Vil shit. You don't want to fuck with it. So I'm just like, use your own common sense. I was like, nah, I've been vaccinated, but I'm gonna keep this goddamn mask on. And then number two, I got a child. So I don't want to be out there inhaling and breathing this shit and bringing it back to the house. And she's unvaccinated and then give it to her. Like, it's levels to this shit. We got to do better with using our common fucking sense. And I still don't understand why we get so angry at each other. I mean, I know it's a life or death thing. That's something to get angry about. But I'm like, at the end of the day, we can't make nobody do nothing. Ain't none of this like martial law. Mandates are fucking flying out the window. So yeah. So I talked to a lot of friends and family about like, hey, you know, how long you think this gonna last? And from my point of view, I'm like, in that aspect, it is gonna be like the flu. I feel like this shit gonna be with us for the long haul. Unless scientists break through, you know, to another level of genius and just figure out a way to eradicate all this shit. But it's always gonna be somebody out here carrying the shit because nobody wants to get vaccinated. Well, I ain't gonna say nobody, you know, the anti-vaxxers. So somebody gonna always have this disease. So it ain't going nowhere. It just ain't going nowhere. And that's the reality of it. I had even put a stamp on it. I was like, nah, this shit gonna be with us for the next 5 years. I just see this being with us till the day the sun explodes the earth. I just, you know, end of days, it's still going to be here. So I don't know what your thoughts are on COVID. You can let me know. You cannot. I don't really give a fuck because that was my 10 cents. But goddamn COVID. COVID America is a fucking like shitstorm. It's dumpster juice at this point. But yeah, that's that. And next shit, we're going to talk about motherfucking Texas. Goddamn Texas. Shit. Okay. So, I am a Texan. Born and motherfucking raised. And I fucking hate it here. All I can see is that gift of Stewie from Family Guy laying on the floor. Like, I think he got knocked over or some shit or he fell and he was just laying there with his arms and legs spread. I was like, I fucking hate it here. That's the way I feel because I'm like, it all started when our governor opened up the fucking state. Like, yeah, businesses go back to work. And a piece of me, like a percentage of me understands people needed money. People needed to get back to work, but it ain't the time. It surely wasn't the time then. And he was like, no, fuck it. Just open the restaurants back up. I'm like, I don't need no goddamn TGI Fridays that fucking bad. Like, we've been learning to cook this year. It was like, no. We got to get this money flowing. And you know, that ain't really why. This motherfucker wanted to get reelected. And he knew all of his constituents got money. It's like, they're the votes that I care about. Not the broke ass lower class and middle class people that are going to die when I fucking open back up the state. So yeah, I'm just like, I don't get it. And not just he opened up the state. He gave it a couple of months. And then he said, mask mandate. Fuck that mask mandate. Take them goddamn masks off. I and I laugh to keep from crying because that don't make no sense. No, no. Open those restaurants up. Open those venues, those concert venues and weddings and any other goddamn thing where people have to sit shoulder to shoulder. And by the way, take the mask off. It just don't even make no common sense. And I know that it's about the money. But in his case, because for business owners, you know, some that just don't care about the public, because the job that I left gave all the fucks about public safety when it came to COVID. But, you know, just the business owners like, yeah, I got these bills to pay and I understand. Everything I say, just remember the context that I haven't even said. It's always there in the background. I understand you need money to keep businesses afloat. But at the sake of health, even the business owner's health, is it really the gamble you want to take? Are you willing to lose your life to keep your business afloat? So he was like, yep, it's worth it. Ah, so yeah, everything is fucking open with no mask on. And when I'm like, I go to the grocery store, I feel like it's the days before COVID. Like being a geek, if you wore a mask out in public, people would be like, what the fuck is wrong with that weirdo? And that's the way it feels again. We still dead in the heat of COVID-19. And now it's motherfuckers in Texas looking at me like something wrong with me. Like, I'm doing this for both of us, actually. So yeah, you should give me all of the accolades. And I just like going to grocery stores. It's like weird as fuck because I feel like everybody's like back in the day when Twilight, like, are you team Edward or team Jacob? That's what this shit is right now. Like, people's in full blown fucking fights about this shit. So yeah, COVID is like the masked or like Jacob and the unmasked or like Edward, you know, flip that how you want to. But niggas out here really like, you on the wrong team, player. And I'm like, no player. I'm trying to stay alive, bitch. You on the wrong team. So yeah, open streets, open restaurants, no mask. He didn't stop there. Governor, I don't even want to say his name. Some people call him Hot Wheels. I think that's a little degrading and irresponsible because shit happens. You could also be in his position one day. But this motherfucker said, I'm gonna ante up on this bullshit. We gonna do open carry, motherfuckers. Like, this Texas, but this is not the wild, wild Midwest. I mean, you know, the West. We like deep in the South. Still, we don't got no cops and fucking robbers. So why the fuck is we doing open carry? There was a reason for open carry back in the wild, wild West. Motherfuckers lived acres away from each other and they needed to protect their homes, farms, and families from marauders. So you needed an open carry. You don't need that shit now. Like, why? I still don't understand the basis, like the argument for it, and never even checked into it, but just using my common damn sense, why do you need to open carry? Somebody make it make sense, because it's not making sense right now. Like, people, first of all, I believe that COVID brought out a lot of personal views to the surface, whether good or bad, and 9 times out of 10 brought up more bad and evil shit out of people. And then the anger level is at a 10 because just driving is even a fucking gauntlet, because I've done better about my road rage because I'm not driving to work every day, but I like look in people's cars when like an accident is possibly about to happen and they are fucking blowing their tops. Like, people are more angry than in previous years. So COVID has brought out the worst in a lot of people. So I'm like, now you gave them guns to go along with their unnecessary anger? Because once you take a life, ain't no going back. I know, you know, some people see red and they black out and all that shit, but you killed somebody. Now you going to prison for your life, or you're going to get the death penalty because this is Texas. So I'm like, what is the payoff of open carry? Because people ain't, you, the saying goes, you never should pull a gun unless you're ready to use it. So are you just trying to scare people with it? I'm just like, I don't understand. Then on the flip side of that, racism. People can be out here killing folks just off the strength of racism. And then the flip of that is that they don't care about black people being able to carry guns. That's even more reason to shoot us on sight. So it's just, it's dangerous for us all the way around. I don't understand open carry. If somebody understand, please write me. Don't write me. I really don't care. That's where I'm at this point. Like, I'm in my 40s. I don't give a shit. I'm just keeping it real. I feel how I feel. It may not be right or wrong. I try to stay, like an eternal debate team, all in one, just one person debate team. I try to see both sides, but I'm not getting it. I'm just not getting it. Because we got a lot of crazy motherfuckers in the world, especially in Texas. I'm starting to see that a lot more often. People that the way they vote, and we got to get out here and vote. I even got to do a better job at voting myself. It's not just a, every 4 years thing. You got to be voting on the local level. What else? Oh, he kept putting chips down on this ante up. The governor also put a ban on abortions after 4 weeks. I'm like, listen, sir, because obviously you've never been a pregnant woman. And there are exceptions to the rules, which I was. But people ain't gonna know within 4 weeks if they pregnant, sir. My specific situation, I knew I was a week late because my period was like clockwork. I said, where this motherfucking period? I don't play with this shit. I said, let me go to this doctor. Went to the doctor. They said, yes, you are exactly 1 week pregnant. I knew it immediately. But that is not the case. 9 times out of 10, people don't find out till they pregnant. And I'm just guesstimating here off of, personal relationships I've talked about with my friends. They don't know until at least maybe a month to 2 months that they pregnant. It's motherfuckers go all the way to the delivery room, didn't know they was pregnant. They think they having a appendicitis or some shit. No, bitch, you about to have a baby. And he up here talking about 4 weeks. I'm like, okay, sir. And so I follow somebody on Instagram and they popped up in my feed. They say, oh, okay, we're gonna do better than you, you dumb bastard. I got 4 weeks to figure out I'm pregnant. All right, then we finna buy up all these pregnancy tests. And bitch, take you a pregnancy test every 3 weeks so you can beat this motherfucker to his 4 weeks. Ah, crazy. Oh, what else did they put? They said, oh, okay, I got 4 weeks to have an abortion. I'm gonna schedule me an abortion every 3 weeks. I was like, that's a joke, but he finna have some abortion clinics out here. They schedule's gonna be all fucked up. Like, oh, okay, no, it was just a scare. I need to cancel and reschedule that abortion for 3 weeks out. I'm like, fucking hilarious. Also, fucking genius. Like, people gonna find a way around this shit. And the sad thing is that there are going to be some heavy consequences to trying to govern women's bodies. I'm like, they did it before abortion was legal, and they're going to do it again when it is illegal. Some women take their own abortions in their own hands, and I hate that it has to be that way, but it is that way. And I also believe that if you don't have fucking ovaries, you don't have a say. I truly believe that. All right, y'all. Next topic, we can bring it on back home. I got all this shit out my system. We finna talk some nerd shit. All right, y'all. Let's talk about this nerd shit. I just got back from eating lunch and I am stuffed. So to begin with, it's gonna be pretty damn long, so buckle in, goddammit. I want to talk about One Piece. Oh, good old One Piece. Okay. For a little bit of knowledge that people may or may not know, One Piece is currently, it had on Funimation. I'm going off of Funimation. Funimation currently has 14 seasons and 991 episodes. The majority of it is sub. I'm from the class of dub, but I've been chopping through this motherfucker because I am currently on episode 835, I believe. So I'm COVID. I done got through it with COVID. Okay. So in the anime, there are currently 1,000 chapters. The anime has been around since 1999. That is 24 years, people. I was a senior in high school in 1997. And if I would have started watching this shit in 1999, I would have been done. But my ass was trying to be grown, living it up in Atlanta, and I'll just leave it at that. And the show's creator and anime creator is the creator. I don't know why I just drew a blank. His name is Eiichiro Oda. So I want to thank that man for creating this wonderful, epic show, okay? And I'm going to tell you why I think it's epic, okay? I have at least 10 reasons why I think One Piece is like the ultimate manga, anime, because a lot of people they get thrown off by the art style, and I'm like, you gotta get past that, dude. They's like, out of proportions, niggas' heads is bigger than their bodies. They basically a head with legs. Why they got these long arms? Why they got these long necks? Yada yada yada. List goes on. That is like 1% of the greatness of this show. Like, you cannot put it on the shelf just because of like the way it's stylized. Anyway, reasons why I love One Piece. Okay, it runs the gambit. It has like world building, awesome world building. They tap on racism, classism, capitalism, government corruption, slavery, feminism, self-improvement, family turmoil, child trafficking, and child abandonment. They do kidnapping. They do endless bodies, murder, tournaments. If you like that Dragon Ball Z shit, they got that. They got religious atrocities, and the list goes on and on and on. Okay, so if you haven't done yourself the favor of watching One Piece, and I'm specifically talking to one person, his name is Ice McGowan over on the Animation Podcast. Because every time in our group chat we start talking about One Piece, his ass just drop in to say "fuck One Piece" or "One Piece is trash." Ice think everything is trash. But he needs to invest that time. This motherfucker go hard for Naruto. He needs to watch that One Piece. Okay? So anybody out there that hasn't, again, I'm gonna put it out there. Watch yourself some One Piece. If the style is not the problem, the story is so like massive. That's what got me hooked. I was like, oh, okay. Why did I never watch this shit? This is amazing. Like, if you took away somebody that's not an anime watcher, you took it away the animation, probably changed the names so it wouldn't seem so silly. Somebody would be like, oh my God, what is this masterwork? Like, they go hard in these streets, okay? Everybody's powers, they like OP, they just, it's crazy. Okay, that's enough love for One Piece, but I really do. The only thing though, when I first started watching One Piece, is that okay, wait a minute, Luffy. My dude, you giving me Goku vibes. All you want to do is for self. All you want to do is fight. All you want to do is fight the strongest motherfucker. Fuck what everybody else going through and what kind of after effects and aftershocks that'll cause. I just want to fight. Fight, 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 fight. These niggas from the hood. But I got over that because Luffy, he's a bigger dude and he ain't out here getting married and having babies he can't take care of or won't take care of because that's all he want to do is be a fucking pirate. So that's One Piece. Now, I want to move on to Netflix's category of anime. They've been beefing that shit up. They had a Twitch Live. I think it was a 2 or 3 day event. They were talking about some of the new anime titles that they were having coming out, their original titles. And one of them blew the motherfucking lid off the building, which was OG He-Man. But I was like, He-Man, what the fuck, when that shit came out? Because 8-year-old me was like, oh, we about to get in these He-Man Eternia streets. We was in Eternia streets, but we wasn't doing it with He-Man, y'all. We was doing it with Teela the whole season. And if you haven't watched it, spoiler alert, motherfucker, pause. I'm giving you 3, 2, 1. He-Man died. This motherfucker died. I was like, why do we call it He-Man? Like, we should have just, did they call it He-Man? Or was it Masters of the Universe? And that's how they tried to trick our bitch asses. We just wasn't reading between the lines. Or we just didn't even read the line. And then we added to the line that we thought it was just He-Man. I don't know. We all got fucked up. Because people was going left and right on Instagram, like, what the fuck was up with that? Like, it was beautiful. It was drawn beautifully. The storytelling was amazing. Like, it flowed well. It was a lot of action. They had some diversity and inclusion. I was loving that Black He-Man. I mean, like, spit off, my nigga. No, they're not gonna do that, I know. But I was like, I wanted more He-Man. I didn't want him just at the beginning and just at the end. And I know that they were leading up like a cliffhanger for a possible season 2, and maybe they already greenlit that. But I was just like, I just wanted to kick the dough in, just straight He-Man. Ah, and while we on the subject of He-Man, it's late, but I'm finna rant. What the fuck was up with that She-Ra? Again, 8-year-old me was like, let's get these motherfucking She-Ra vibes. No, they wanted to do She-Ra as a little girl, and I was disappointed. Now, little girls that don't know nothing about She-Ra, they was probably like, yay! I was like, no. I wanted real She-Ra. Oh, and I think about the character design, how beautiful that could have been. But I'm going to let that go. Hopefully, she pops up in the new Masters of the Universe down the road. Come on, Netflix. You had me up and down. We like a motherfucking roller coaster ride out in these motherfucking streets. Like, get it together. Like, I know you're trying to find your footing, but like, you got billions of dollars. Get this shit right. Hire some people that are actually anime lovers, that are actually nerds and geeks, so we can get what the people deserve. So, hey man, I still suggest watch it, but my nostalgia was like thrown in the trash at that point. Like, they was like, fuck what you thought. Okay, we switching the game. So next up is Baki. So they had like a stream of just straight brawler anime, because I loved Baki, but ask me what it was about. All I know is these motherfuckers just want to fight, be the strongest. He don't like his daddy. He got a little girl he likes. And these motherfuckers just fight for, I don't know what the reason is. I think it's a championship. I think it's a title for strongest man in the world. I don't know. But the animation is reminiscent of the original. I think came out in the 70s, maybe. But yeah, that shit is hardcore. If you just want to see straight, just unnecessary fighting and just like over the top fight sequences and moves and shit that ain't even really humanly possible, I say watch this shit. I have a spoiler, but I don't know if I want to tell people. I mean, the shit's been out forever. The only part that they lost me on was the last season when they tried to pay homage to Muhammad Ali, and it was suspect. But go watch it for yourself. Another brawler anime on Netflix is Kigan Ashura. That was also good. Again, ask me what it was about. Same format. Let's just get these hands. That's all it's about. I'm gonna whoop your ass like in the most fantastical ass way, and I don't even know what we're here for fighting, but let's proceed. So it's the same way. Just beautiful fight choreography, beautiful animation, beautiful characters, just tournament style ass shit. So if that's for you, those are my two selections, Baki and Kengan Ashura. They got some furry anime that I was not a fan of. Never read the mangas. So they had BNA, Beast Anime. Ask me what that was about. I can't remember either. It's just, and that, it was nothing fantastic about it for me to like give you some points on why you should or shouldn't watch it. It was just like, yeah, it's pretty colors. That ain't enough. Beastars. I know everybody was like, yeah, I can't wait till it comes out. The manga's so great. But I was like, I watched the first season. I was like, nah, that's not what that was. Second season was a little bit more in depth than the first one, because it had some social issues that arose. Basically, I liked the storyline for the panda bear. Like, he was trying to cover up that he was a fucking vicious animal and he wanted to eat animals because that's what's in my DNA. So I got to put on this front to make others feel comfortable around me. So it was very in depth. It was very deep. So I mean, suffer through season one to get to season two. That was a little bit better. What else? Oh, I forgot this in my brawler list. Motherfucking Record of Ragnarok. Why am I flipping over and tripping over my words? But anyway, Record of Ragnarok. That was another brawler ass anime. And I can tell you what that was about. It was basically the gods is like fucking done with human beings. They must have just figured out we weren't shit because of COVID, and they was like, you know what, let's wipe these motherfuckers clean. And so there was a Valkyrie that stepped in and was like, no, don't kill these motherfuckers. You have a law that says let them fight for their humanity so it can be humans against gods. The toughest humans ever in history go against the gods, like all religions, all mythologies, all that shit. So they break them out. I think it's 13 fighters, 13 guys, 13 humans. And they go to blows. And a lot of people was like, nah, you know how motherfuckers get. They never happy. So my favorite character was fucking Adam. Like Adam and Eve? Yes, Adam, nigga, the first man. And he was like, oh, I'm the first man. We've only been around maybe a couple of minutes, but I hate everything. Y'all fucked with my wife. I hate everybody. Kick us out this garden. I don't give a damn. So he was baller at the gate. But yeah, I suggest watching that Record of Ragnarok. What else I got here? So this is not so much anime. It was just a fucking good time. It was America, the motion picture. It's funny because I mean you gotta laugh not to cry because it was just a fucked up account of America's history, like just a mosh podge of everything throughout time. So it was like it had some steampunk elements into it because you know there was no fucking cars and shit back in George Washington's time. But my favorite part was Killer Mike. He did one of the characters' voices. So yeah, that's enough alone just to want to watch this shit. So yeah, check that out. America, the motion picture. I don't want to give too much about that because I think that one snuck under the radar. And yeah, and I don't want to just have you out there like, bitch, why you didn't let me see it for myself? Just watch this shit. It's great. And it's another one. I have a list that I'm going off of. It's a new one I just found. It's not on the list. It's called Q Force. So it's basically about a queer spy agency. And I love the inclusiveness of it. And it's not like pandering, it's not demeaning for me. I'm a cis woman, so but I thought it was great that they even did a full length series relating to the queer and LGBTQ plus community. So check that out also. On my last topic, I wanted to talk about just anime in general, and I've been becoming very overwhelmed this year. 2021, because it seemed like it's just an onslaught of new anime. And so my question is, why is it so much? And is anyone else feeling overwhelmed like me? So I'm thinking like back in the day, I've been watching anime a long time, like you had to like scour the earth for VHS tapes and DVDs to get that good anime, or you had some homies that got some shit from overseas. From family members that was in the armed forces, and then you pass it around high school or what have you. It was like scarce. That shit was scarce. So now it's like a new anime come out every month. I mean, like they have seasons. That's the way, you know, these anime apps are broken out into seasons. So you can go all the way back, like in Crunchyroll, I want to say probably to shit, I may be lying, but I'm just saying you can go back at least 15 years on anime seasons. And I'm like, it's just so much. And I had told myself, no, don't go with the mainstream. Fuck what everybody else talking about. Yes, there's gonna be spoilers. Try to dodge them motherfuckers like bullets, like this the Matrix. And watch all the anime that you all the content they have on these streaming apps, A through Z, so you can get through it. And fuck what everybody else talking about. No, you're not gonna be one of the cool kids for the moment. But do that shit. Do it like that. But every once in a while, some fancy come out with all the colors and the pretty boys, and I renege. But yeah, I just really think it's too much, you know. So send me a DM or an email or anything. Let me know how you feel, and how are you breaking it down to consume all this content that's coming out. My last geek thing is Disney Plus's What If. That is fucking magic. I'm like, I could literally go to the theater and watch these as feature films. I haven't read the comics. And from King Kurt over at Head Nerds in Charge, he was telling me that I should read the What If Zombies series because fucking who doesn't love zombies, number one. And that shit is amazing. And that was one of the episodes in the What If series on Disney Plus. So it's like every episode at the gate with Captain Carter, that was like, what the fuck? And it kept anteing up every episode. Like I haven't been disappointed with not a single episode. So not to say this most recent episode is better than the first one. They're all like equally good, but it's like it just keeps building, and I'm so excited. And I think maybe it's 10 episodes. I wish it was more, and I hope they continue like as another like season two, season three, blah blah blah. Just keep coming up with stuff. I know it's stuff at the comic book shop that that's what Hollywood does. They just reproduce what's already been created. So I'm like, just keep that shit going because it's amazing. Whoever the team is, they got this shit rocking. So that is my nerd shit for you guys. Let me know what you think. All right. right, y'all, this is the end of the show, and this is the portion of the show where I'd like to show support to some of my favorite online creators. This episode, I would like to ask you guys to search them out, consume their content. Number one is Head Nerds in Charge out of Philly. They are doing all the things that we talked about, and they are making it work. A whole team of motherfuckers making it shine over there in Philly. They are into podcasting, video shows, wrestling, apparel, shit. Probably a lot of shit that Kurt haven't even told me that they're working on, but doing all of the things for Black content in America. I hope that was a good intro to what Head Nerds in Charge do, Kurt. Don't shoot me out the water if I didn't give it all the graces and blesses I should have. Amazing company, Head Nerds in Charge. You can find them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, all that shit. So yeah, shows are on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check them out every week, Wednesdays. Second content creators I'd like to shout out is the Animation Podcast out of California. I've been on their show about 2 times. These brothers are amazing. The majority of them are comedians. The other half are a whole ass production team that fly around the world shooting documentaries for Discovery Channel. So amazing brothers, super talented, super knowledgeable. So yes, you will be consuming the best listening to them. And also, if you'd like to support the Gadgets and Geekery Geeky Sexual and Intellectual Show, you can always click on the link in the show bio, and you know, you can drop some coins my way through Anchor. It's amazing. You can do a subscription. You can just drop some in the bucket every once in a while. You can also go and send me something through Cash App. My Cash App is $ Gadgets and Geekery. So y'all, I want to thank you for stopping by, welcoming me back into your ear holes. I know that's cheesy as fuck, but I'm just happy that anybody even stays this long to listen to me, because I'm just, you know, a goofy chick sitting in my closet recording a show. All right, I'll see y'all next time. Y'all be easy.